is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to pick three lunar rover companies for the ambition of returning to the surface of the moon, NASA. Bob, a very good evening to you. This looks like a positive story, is it? Good evening to you.
Yes, this is a very positive story. This is a case where NASA is hiring three different commercial companies who are also partnered with other companies to build to do initial feasibility design work on each company's proposed manned lunar rover. This is not a little rover that would come down on a unmanned lander. These are the rovers they want to give the astronauts, fly to the moon, and give to the astronauts to get around. And so they've issued contracts to three different consortiums. The first one is led by a company called Astrolab, with its Flex Rover, and they're partnered with Axiom and Odyssey Space. And Intuitive Machines, who did the lunar lander just a few months ago, is building what it calls its Racer Rover in conjunction with Boeing, Michelin, Northrop Grumman. And a third company, very much a startup, Lunar Outpost. They're building a Lunar Dawn rover, they call it, and they're doing it in partnership with Lockheed Martin, General Motors, Goodyear, and the Canadian space company MDA. All three of these companies are partnered with old established players. They're all three startups, but they're the leads. But they're all linked with old established players by NASA. NASA probably requires it to give the effort some experienced help, but at the same time, NASA wants new companies to lead because the new companies have the right hard attitudes. If you gave this to Boeing or Northrop Grumman, they would not be able to do it cheap. They would, it would be a nightmare. So they're giving the leads to the small companies who will run the thing, and will make sure that the older companies don't go out of control.
That's a very positive story. So let's move on and get lucky here. Orion, delay. What does that mean, Bob?
This is an example of a big old company not being able to doing things the old way and not doing it right. It just so everyone remembers, George Bush Jr. Proposed the Orion capsule in 2004. NASA issued contract to Lockheed Martin to build it about 2 years later. That would be 06. It is now 18 years later. They've spent about $15 billion to produce less than six capsules. And the capsule that's going to fly on the next mission, Artemis mission, that's supposed to be manned for the first time, there are technical issues with it. And that's one of the main reasons NASA's pushed back that launch from this year to next year. And I've already predicted it won't happen next year. It's going to get incrementally delayed, I expect. The technical problems have to do with electrical issues. And they're quote, trying to implement workarounds. This is not how a company like SpaceX works. If you got a problem, you don't do a workaround. You fix the problem so it never comes up again. But the way Lockheed Martin and Orion was designed Orion, it's really not a reusable craft. So what happens is you don't design it with the idea of having to take it apart to fix or refurbish. But the trouble is that during development, especially over such a long period of time, you're going to have to disassemble it periodically to fix things, and that's their problem right now, and they're trying to get it fixed.
Compare and contrast. There's Orion, not yet. There's Starliner, not yet. There's Dragon, yet, and there's Starship, yet. Don't they do all the same things?
Well, yes, but they're very vastly different things. Dragon is very similar to Starliner, Boeing Starliner, and Orion, Lockheed Martin's Orion. They're similar, though they have some differences. But once again, SpaceX, privately built and privately owned, produced a manned capsule for NASA much quicker, for much less money, for a tenth the cost, because they own it and they can sell it. And in fact, they are going to do a manned, independent, privately manned mission with an airlock, and the capsule is right now going through environmental testing, which means SpaceX has now added an airlock to, not an airlock so much, but the ability for the capsule to be opened, a hatch to be opened, and the interior completely exposed to the harsh vacuum of space.
A puzzle, Bob. Why not Dragon? They've got a program. It's behind times.
I've written about this. If anyone goes to Behind the Black and searches for Orion, the lie that was Orion, they'll see my essay on this about 10 years ago about how Orion is a junk piece of crap. It is a piece of, it is, all it is an ascent descent capsule, which is the same thing Dragon is. But NASA put all these other requirements on it so that it could last in deep space longer and go to the moon. But the truth of the matter is, Starship's a much better thing to go to the moon with. Orion should be something you could use to get up and down from the surface. And that's about it.
So they tried to put two missions into one capsule, and they haven't been successful.
And they've been lying all along. They always keep talking about how this will take us beyond Earth orbit. It's garbage. It's never going to be able to do that. A little capsule like that, you can't fly for 6 months on that.
It's time to talk about Starliner. Where is it, Bob? Is it ready for prime time?
According to Boeing and NASA, it's now ready for launch. They have delayed the launch for about a week, not because of any problems with Starliner, thank God for this for one time. It's just simply scheduling the launch in conjunction with other ISS operations. There's Progress freighters coming down. There's a crew going up. There's you know, the ports have to be coordinated. And so they delayed it by 5 days to fit into that schedule. If it flies properly, two astronauts will go up to ISS for a two-week stay, test the systems of Starliner, and then come back down. Cross your fingers, no one gets hurt. It works perfectly. Starliner could then start. Give NASA redundancy, another vehicle to get people up and down ISS. And more important, another vehicle to get cargo back from ISS. That's important, too.
I wish them well. Starliner's been a long time cooking. Mitsubishi joining building a commercial space station with Starlab. Is it built or is it proposed?
Oh, no. This is one of the three space stations that have some NASA financing, commercial space stations, that's being built. Starlab is being built by a joint partnership of Voyager Space, an American company with NASA money, and Airbus, a European company. This consortium has now, Mitsubishi has now joined this consortium from Japan. And what it tells us is that this space station, which is, you know, being a, is under its early development stages on Earth, the Voyager, the lead company, they are attempting to capture the international market by teaming up with Airbus in Europe and Mitsubishi in Japan. They are basically guiding the manned space efforts of those two communities to their space station. So when ISS is gone and there's no longer the international partnership, the Europeans and the Japanese are going to almost certainly want to send their astronauts to Voyager Space Starlab. The other American stations, Axiom and Orbital Reef with NASA financing, they seem more focused on trying to get American business. And there's another space station being built by a company called VAST, that's entirely privately funded. There is no government money involved in that at all. And ironically, because it's going up on Starship, it might actually get launched ahead of everybody else.
All right, two stories about China. The first story is their version of Artemis. Thailand shows up, fine. Lunar-based partnership, all positive. The second story is annoying. It has to do with the skies of California. What happened, Bob?
All right, well, quickly, the Thailand joined China's partnership. This is their alternative to the Artemis Accords, and the alliance is made up of mostly tiny countries that don't have any real big space capabilities, and Thailand is one of it, and it's joined. So China can say, we got a partnership too, but not really. The other story that you say is annoying is one of the Shenzhou capsules, manned capsules that brings astronauts up and down to China's space station, it's designed very similar to the Soyuz capsule that the Russians use. It's got a descent module, a service module, and an orbital module. The service module gets discarded. The orbital module is habitable, but it's not, doesn't return to Earth. It gets discarded in orbit as well. And it appears that the orbital module of a Shenzhou 15-man capsule launched in November 22 and then abandoned when the astronauts returned in the spring of 23, it burned up over Southern California this past week. And in doing so, it left a blazing fireball that many people witnessed. It's not likely any pieces hit the ground, but there was no reason for this to come down uncontrolled. They could have done things to make sure when it came down over the ocean. China doesn't care. They released it, abandoned it, and let it come down wherever it may.
I think I read, Bob, that thing was in the tons. That was not a small piece of equipment.
No, no, it's in the tons. It's like 5 tons, maybe three tons. But you don't really get a lot of debris returning to Earth until an object is in the 10 to 20 ton range. Though sometimes batteries, even on smaller things, because they're very dense, will survive and hit.
The one that went through the roof in Florida, right?
That's right. That was a small piece that was only 2 pounds in size. Because it's a dense battery part, it was able to survive the return to Earth. So it's not a good thing. You should control your spacecraft and bring them down over the ocean where they won't do any harm. And China doesn't care. They do what they want.
All right. The Australian spaceport. This is a wonderful story if it happens, because I'm beginning to think that Australia wants to be the spacefaring continent. You've got a new version of a spaceport. What is the competition?
There are three different spaceports being developed in Australia. Two of them are spaceports that will welcome any rocket company that wants to come. The third one is called Bowen Spaceport, and it's owned by an Australian rocket startup called Gilmore. They have a rocket, an orbital rocket, ready for testing now, ready for flight. It's assembled and ready for flight, and they could fly in weeks, they say. Of course, they applied for their launch license from the Australian Space Agency about 2 years ago, and they still haven't gotten that approval. Two of these spaceports are saying that they're going to launch their first flights within just a matter of weeks. But once again, neither has gotten the launch approval from the bureaucracy, and we'll have to wait and see if either gets it.
And Bob, these spaceports, are they looking to monetize them, or is this just an outpost? Can you tell?
No, this is definitely monetized. They all want to make their money. Gilmore, that owns Bowen, it wants to just be a rocket company and use its own spaceport, like SpaceX does with Boca Chica. The other two launch sites on the map I've got, they're monetized. They want to encourage as many rocket companies to come launch there, and of course each one will pay a rental fee, but that's how they make money. And then the companies that come will have alternative places to launch from. Competition, lower the cost of launching.
What I like, Bob, is that spaceports can easily become the same kind of attraction a golf course is to people who want to live there.
Yeah.
And observe the ambiance of another world. You get a condo, you get a morning sunshine, and you get a rocket blast off every once in a while.
I mean,
that's extremely attractive to high end. Is anybody talking that way, Bob?
Well, in the case of Australia, I would say the Bowen launch spaceport that Gilmore has on the eastern coast has the most population around it. Every one of these company spaceports recognizes the tourist potential, every single one of them. But all of them are facing the same problems in Great Britain. They've got to get launch permits. And that hasn't happened yet. Now, it could just simply be they slow the first time. And once they get this system going, it'll be better. But they sure seem to be acting like Great Britain and very slow. It's very frustrating.
Money opens all doors. All right, we go to Roscosmos. Dreaming of a space station. Is this a new one?
This is their proposed Russian orbital station, ROS is their abbreviation. They have now approved the design. What's interesting about this design is it would be launching in a sun-synchronous orbit. This basically goes over the poles, the highest inclination of any manned space station. Several things about that. One, it would be almost impossible to go from their space station to the other space stations. The orbits are too different. And secondly, it means that it's almost impossible to use any of the modules on ISS, because you can't get them from the ISS orbit to this orbit. Bottom line, though, is Russia, will Russia do it? Russia hasn't done anything for decades, and I wouldn't expect it now either.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going in search of Voyager 1. I'm John Batchelor.